Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog and use it to your advantage and all the other things you can find on our website. We got lots of new stuff heading your way. Over the next few months, we're going to be introducing you some new stuff I think you're going to be very excited about. Okay. Minimum wage is currently $5.15 an hour. It hasn't been raised in, 8 or 9 years. There's a reason why it hasn't been raised. It hasn't been needed to be raised because the economy has been doing pretty well and people are making, wages are not anywhere near minimum wage for most people. Only for those people who are entry level folks who have no skills. Now, I want to, it's raising its head again. Minimum wage increase is raising its head again, and only because of politics. But just so that we're clear, that's the only reason why we have minimum wage right now, is because of politics. If you thought that minimum wage was developed because politicians said, you know what, we need to make sure that there's a minimum wage out there so we can be fair to everybody, so that people can make a living. We really feel strongly about this for workers, et cetera, et cetera. If you think that's the reason it got started, well, I hate to burst your bubble, but you would be wrong. Let me tell you why it got started. In the early part of the 20th century, the New England states, especially, say, Massachusetts, pretty much had a lock on the textile industry. That's where the textile industries were. They had the wages were pretty significant. There were quite a bit of unionism up there, and the wages were pretty high. Textile companies, textile industrialists, opportunists, entrepreneurs decided, especially in the South, found out that they could build plants, textile plants in the South, all across the South, the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, etc. They found out that if they built their plants in those states, there were plenty of workers who were not, who in the standard of living wasn't as high as it was in the Northeast, and so they could pay them a lot less. These people were glad to have the jobs. They were hard workers. They were good workers, and the skills required to run those plants were not high. So they could train them very quickly, and therefore, they could make some money. There was an opportunity for them. All right. The politicians in the New England states saw this as competition. Indeed, it was competition. In fact, it did hurt. It was in the process of hurting the New England textile industry. So, over the 1920s and early 1930s, they set about establishing a minimum wage. And why they did that was not to protect the wages of the workers in New England, but to penalize the industrialists in the South, the textile industrialists in the South, to prevent them from competing, in their mind, unfairly in another part of the country and hurting the textile industry, the owners of the textile plants in the Northeast. And therefore, minimum wage was established. And it basically was done for the purpose of helping companies in one sector of the country against another companies in another sector in the country. So this minimum wage thing has been going on, it's been arising out of Massachusetts for a long time. As you know, Senator Ted Kennedy, the arch enemy of small business, is the leading guy for minimum wage. He's always trying to raise minimum wage. He doesn't understand, and I really believe this, folks. I really am convinced. If he understands how the marketplace works, how supply and demand works, how our economy works, he disregards that in favor of politics. So minimum wage began as politics, 100%. Not economics, not altruism, 100% economic. I mean, 100% politics. Okay. It has only been politics since then, because every time minimum wage has increased, if you'll notice, it's always associated with an election. And they use the minimum wage, both parties have used the minimum wage as a political football to try to gain an advantage for themselves during an election year. Now, here we are in 2006. Sadly, the people who are using minimum wage as a political football this year are the Republicans. About 50 Republicans, seeing that their base is eroding, fearing for their electoral lives, being afraid that they're not going to be reelected, they're trying to gain some kind of an advantage over the Democrats, these 50 or so Republicans in the House. And so they've raised the minimum wage. They put it back on the table. In fact, the House passed, with the help of these 50 Republicans and joining most of the Democrats, the House passed a minimum wage increase over the weekend. Now, why did those Republicans do that? Do you think that they did it because they think it's a good thing for economics, for the economy? Do you think they did it because they want people to have to make more money? They want to help people who don't make they want people to make more than $5.15 an hour? No, I don't think that's why they did it. They did it because they did not want the Democrats to gain another advantage by bringing it up first. So now what they also did, and this is a fact. I talked to a member of Congress yesterday, and he basically confirmed this. They put so many riders on it, like the death tax, etc., other tax breaks. They put so many riders on it that they knew the Democrats could not accept that they wanted to get it voted down. They wanted the Democrats to vote against minimum wage, so that when they go back to their districts, they could say, minimum wage, we brought up minimum wage, we're trying to raise minimum wage, we Republicans, and the Democrats voted against it. That's a political football, folks. And they're using minimum wage as their own political football. Again, once again, 80 years later from its inception, when it first passed in the early 1930s, so that'd be about 70 years later, minimum wage is still, to a politician, still to our members of Congress, nothing but a political football. Now, when we come back, I'm going to explain how that political football hurts my heroes, small business owners, and many of their employees. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Friends, man, say I'll move to New York. New York's bad. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking about minimum wage. In the previous segment, I talked about how minimum wage got started and why it's really nothing more than a political football. When you hear people, whenever you hear a politician say, we want to raise minimum wage, we want people to make more money, et cetera, et cetera, these people, they either don't get how the economy works, these politicians, or they get it and they don't care. It's a political issue because they know all they got to do is rattle minimum wage around and people get all fired up because, all right, look, I admit that for most of us, we're tenderhearted, we're kind-hearted people, and believe it or not, I am too. And you say, well, sure, I want people to make minimum wage. I want them to make more money because I make more money, and so, I think everybody ought to be able to, earn a little more money. Well, here's the thing. I completely agree with you. You're surprised, aren't you? My point is the government shouldn't be establishing that. Because when the government raises minimum wage, what does that do to a business's payroll? It automatically, by government fiat, increases their payroll and doesn't create 1 ounce of increased productivity. When the government makes a decision like that to raise minimum wage, basically what they've done is it's a tax increase on small businesses. And you, as you know, I'm the small business advocate. And so I'm going to be fighting for you, small business owners. I'm going to be talking out against anyone who's going to hurt you. Let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen, if you hadn't thought about this, of how this lands in the marketplace, in the actual workplace. Let's say that Sue starts out as a beginner. She has no skills. She starts out in an entry-level job. Let's say that she's literally doing something as menial as it can be, but the company needs it done. She has zero skills. She doesn't know anything, can't use a computer or anything. And they start her out at minimum wage, $5.15. But Sue's smart, and she works hard, and she shows up for work, and she takes initiative. And within 1 year, she has her one-year anniversary, and the boss raises her pay because she's done such a good job. The boss raises her pay to $7.15. She gets a $2 raise because she's learned to use the computer. She's good with customers, and she shows up. She takes initiative, et cetera, et cetera. Sue, rightly, is so proud of herself, and her workers are proud of her. Now she's making $7.15 an hour, and she is really excited, and she deserves to be. On that same day, two things happen. The government raises minimum wage to $7.15, and Sue's boss hires a new employee. Well, the boss walks in and says, "Sue, I want you to, this is George, I want you to train him." Sue's very excited because this is a big responsibility to train a new employee. She's only been there a year, and yet the boss wants her to train this employee. So she does. Over lunch, they're having lunch now after they've had a morning of training. And Sue and George are talking, and George says it was coincidental that he was just hired in on the same day that the new minimum wage increase went into effect, and he's making $7.15 an hour. He doesn't know anything. He's like Sue was a year ago. So here's Sue, having earned $2.15, training a man who doesn't know anything, who knew what she knew a year ago and no more. He's making the same thing that she did. Now, how is Sue's morale? What does Sue want to do? Sue feels compelled to go to her boss and say, "Hey, boss, I'm only making $7.15 an hour." He said, "Yes, but I gave you a $2 raise." "Right, but that's minimum wage. George doesn't know anything. You're paying him $7.15. So what does her boss have to do? He has to either, or she has to live with Sue's now bad morale, which is understandable, and or he has to raise her yet again. And what does all of this do? There's two increases, George's and Sue's. Payroll just got increased, and all the other employees in the company are going to feel like, well, you know, if we're referencing our payoff of minimum wage, then the government says it's now $7.15. We should all get a raise. So what does this do in the marketplace? This lowers profits. Many companies will go out of business because of an increase like this in minimum wage. Many employees who are working now will be laid off. Many employees who would like to get a job at an entry-level position will not be able to get a job. They won't be hired. In the 21st century, companies can find technology to replace a lot of these people, and they will. They'll focus more on technology and less on human beings. And remember, raising minimum wage doesn't do one thing for productivity, and the only thing it does for the economy is it also increases inflation. And another thing, many union contracts are based off of minimum wage. So every time minimum wage goes up $2 an hour, many of these union contracts will automatically go up at a commensurate amount. Minimum wage, folks, is not based on economics. Minimum wage increase, especially, is based on nothing but politics, to use as a political football for politicians. And whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me, whether you like minimum wage increase or not, you have to accept, you have to believe those facts. Minimum wage is not about economics. It's about politics. In America, if you want to earn more money, you get training, you work hard, and you go find another job. That's what you can do in America. You don't have to wait on the government to get you a raise. 29 after, right back with Ruth King. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.